All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
Episode 36. Screwed.
Wow, we're pretty angry today.
We're just screwed.
It has been a little bit trying.
We're screwed all over the place. Screwed.
It's been a very long week.
It sure has. Sure has. We lost someone very near and dear to both Matthew and I.
And to the show.
And to the show. Yeah, really, seriously, to the show. The person that we lost this week was Diane Kamahele.
Yes.
And she was one of the big wigs at Sideshow Toys.
She was.
And she was an absolutely beautiful and wonderful person.
She was. And she was very important to that company. I mean, she really helped make that company grow. She really helped expand that company's relations with the outside world.
Everybody.
And
she was one of their original salespeople. Mm-hmm. And she was incredible. Mm-hmm. And there was no greater friend to the collector's media than Diane.
It's true.
And it is universally agreed that she was the best in the industry. Absolutely the best and the brightest in the industry.
It's true.
I mean, I've talked to, in the last couple of days, so many people, friends from all over the world, that are mourning this tragic, sudden, and unexpected loss.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she leaves behind a husband and two kids.
Three kids.
Is it three kids?
It's three kids.
Oh, husband and three kids.
Mm-hmm.
She was only 42 years old.
Yep.
I mean, it was it's an absolute tragedy. An absolute tragedy. And we will completely and utterly miss her. And that company will completely and utterly miss her.
And if you'd like to read a little bit about it, perhaps say some nice words for the family to read and see and to see what other fans are saying. If you go to SideshowToy.com, right on their main page, it's probably the top headline still on the page. They have a link to a little memorial that they've set up on their site, so you can go there and
there
and
is a memorial fund also that they've set up.
Or have that?
Or they're setting up, I think.
Okay.
And we would encourage anyone listening to this show to, you know, you throw something.
Sure.
You know, it's for the kids and for everything, and it's something you should do. And absolutely tragic loss.
Very.
And but we obviously we can't dwell on that, and
sadly no
we can't. And we're going to press on with us being screwed.
All right.
Let's start with how we screwed up the Star Wars report last week.
Well, what's this wee business? Wee. That was all you, baby.
Hey, all I know is when we win a game, it's a team win. When we lose a game, it's a team loss. You know who said that?
I don't care.
Is it Emilio Estevez?
Nope.
Oh,
no, not Emilio Estevez. You're on the right track, though.
I thought it was this kid's T-ball.
Ah, close. It's Walter Matthau in the Bad News Bears.
Wow, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is when we win a game, it's a team win. When we lose a game, it's a team loss.
And there's the quote right there.
All right. Well, go for it.
We reported last week that in the next wave, the Saga Wave 7.
Yes.
That there was going to be some 7 clones, did we say?
I believe so.
Right. That is actually completely and utterly wrong.
All right.
You were wrong?
I was wrong.
No.
Yeah.
Write
the date down. Saga Wave 7 will include Commander Cody Hologram.
Right.
5th Fleet Security Trooper, Clone Trooper Sergeant, and 442 Siege Battalion.
Okay.
On the clone side of things. It is actually Saga Wave 8 that will include the Elite Core Trooper, Commander Apo, and the Combat Engineer.
Okay.
So that was the mistake there. But wait.
I was going to say there's more to this.
There's more. It is not in Saga Wave 7 or Wave 8 that the Ralph McQuarrie concept art Boba Fett figure will appear.
Mm-hmm.
That will be in the 30th Anniversary Collection Wave 2.
Okay.
Just like the Ralph McQuarrie concept art Stormtrooper figure is appearing not in Saga Wave 6 or 7 or 5 or any other wave, but 30th Anniversary Collection Wave 1.
All right.
So that's the story. Sorry we got that mixed up. One of our research people has been terminated over the incident. And that's all we can say.
That's all we can say.
And by that you mean killed.
Yes. I said terminated. people can extrapolate what they want from that.
In addition to that, we have what's not really correction so much as it's a clarification on the bonus deluxe exclusive plastic made to look like pewter figurine.
Yeah, we screwed that one up too.
Well, we didn't really screw it up.
Well,
we,
depending
we
on how you
some,
look at it.
We made some assumptions that were kind of skewed, but maybe not so much. We had said, we had originally thought that it was just a poorly painted plastic piece made to look like pewter.
Right.
And then we had said that potentially it was supposed to be a platinum dragon, which would be Bahamut, the counterpart to Tiamat.
Right.
We were kind of sort of right in that aspect. Bahamut actually has blue eyes and not red eyes. So a platinum dragon has blue eyes and not red eyes. And on that little plastic figure, he has red eyes. So we think that maybe it's still supposed to be a platinum dragon and they screwed up.
Or a silver dragon.
Or a silver dragon or, right. or something. But just a little
either way, the fact that we may have screwed that up a little doesn't take away from the fact that it's a piece of shit exclusive.
It's true.
So we were right, but we screwed up.
Correct. But while we're talking about toys, I just want to throw out there, it looks like there are going to be at least another 3 Star Wars Unleashed figures. These will be probably exclusives, but we don't know which retailer, whether or not it will be Target or Walmart.
What was the last one?
I believe the last line was Walmart, and the one before that was Target.
Okay.
Okay, it was Grievous and Boba Fett, I think, and then there was Luke and Vader, something along those lines.
I bet Target.
These three are the Anakin and Obi-Wan Battle on Mustafar figures that we saw in the Revenge of the Sith Unleashed
line. They were
good. The first 2 figures to come out after Revenge of the Sith or during Revenge of the Sith. They actually
premiered
at midnight, I think, as well that night.
Ooh, really?
I think so. I think.
All
I know that's when
we
I got
them.
In
early.
Hey, we're talking on the little Unleashed here or the
no,
big ones?
No, we're talking
the
big
ones. The good ones.
We're talking the big ones. Actually, we have those in the studio somewhere, I believe, Obi-Wan and Anakin. Those Mustafar. Oh, did we?
No, they have been returned to
the archive.
The Big Kev Geek Stuff product archive.
So unless you're collecting these for the new expanded packaging, nothing really exciting there. The third figure is a Shadow Stormtrooper, which is nothing more than the regular Stormtrooper repainted.
Now, we're sure about that? I've seen a picture. I'm looking for it, and I don't know where I saw it. I know, okay. I saw it somewhere, but I can't find it. And I'm hoping, I'm agreeing with you, because that, to me, I think it looks like that they've simply taken the Stormtrooper that they've already mm-hmm. produced, or maybe it might be even the Han Solo as a Stormtrooper
right.
that they already produced, and basically painted it black.
Painted it black. And you have that, what they're calling the Shadow Stormtrooper.
Right.
I believe it's just a repaint of the original classic Stormtrooper.
Right.
So that will be the third figure in the line. So keep your eyes out for that. As soon as we know where they're going to be exclusive to, we will let you know. But that was brought to our attention.
Right.
In addition to that, there's a bunch of material coming out, busts and collectibles related to Stardust that I thought we should just mention real quick. It would be four busts, a series of posters, and a series of, like, note cards. The posters and note cards have original artwork by Charles Vess.
Mm-hmm.
And then the busts are Tristan and the Witch, which is a two-bust set. And then Star and Lord Primus, which is also a two-bust set, each retailing at $79.99 a piece.
Wow.
So that's pretty interesting. I mean, I've been saying for a while that they need more Starbust stuff, at the very least some sort of statue, bust, replica stuff. So, you know, and this again is because of the movie and all the hype that the movie is getting. So.
Right.
So why not capitalize on that?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. What's Stardust? I don't know what that is.
Stardust was it was a miniseries that was later collected as a graphic novel written by Neil Gaiman, illustrated by Charles Vest.
Vess.
That's what I said, isn't it?
You said Vest.
That's what I said.
Vest. I'm sorry. And it it follows a prince, I believe Tristan, right? Who is chasing after a falling star that's actually it's a woman, and it's about his adventures. It's kind of a romantic story. Mm. It's really a really good story. Definitely one of Neil Gaiman's better pieces of work outside cool. of his like Sandman stories, stuff like that.
And they actually didn't they release a novel version of it as well?
They did. They did release a novelization. I think that had like chapter illustrations, like at the right. beginning of the chapter by Mr. Vess. But I don't actually own that. I own the collected, so I'm not sure. Do you have anything else?
No, and that ends the news segment.
No, it certainly does not.
Oh, you mean there's more?
There's
no,
tons
that,
more.
That ends the show. Yeah, we're done.
We're done.
Good night.
This is called the short,
hey, we're
short
not,
show.
We're not done. We
have a guest on the phone.
Yeah.
Later, but we'll get true. To that. Let me talk about this.
So,
is that really news? That's a find, maybe. I don't know.
Well, let's call it a find then.
On the pegs with Big Kev.
Let me just start by saying that the back of this thing, I can't see the front, but the back of this thing is flat gray with just a UPC.
It's not even. It's not even gray. It's just
cardboard.
It's just cardboard with the UPC and the distributor on the back.
And sometimes these are great little figures. So,
yep.
And what Mr. Fantastic is pushing us into, kicking and screaming, is nice. Pirate Expedition's High Sea Menace pirate Ooh. Figure playset.
Yeah,
which it certainly isn't. And a playset. These are simply 3 3/4 pirate action figures. Uh-huh. They are really well sculpted and well done. There are, to my knowledge, there are 3 of them.
Okay.
They have great sculpts, great weapons. They come with rifles and swords and flintlocks and pistols and daggers. And there's actually a Blackbeard-looking captain, typical captain,
parrot.
That comes with a parrot that goes right on his shoulder. I presume he's got a big peg, but I don't see a hole for the peg to go in.
Maybe it sits in his hand or something.
He actually also comes with a mace.
Yeah.
Footman on the spiky ball on the chain kind.
My guess is that's left over from the Knights Expedition line that they did probably
prior maybe.
To this.
My but favorite, they it's... are absolutely beautifully sculpted 3 3/4 pirates figures, and you'll never believe where I found them in a million years.
Well, I know already, so it kind of ruins the surprise for me.
Could I guess?
You're supposed to play like
well, Mr.
you
Fantastic
don't know.
Mr. Fantastic doesn't know.
Okay, we're fantastic.
It's Madagascar. The Malagasy Republic.
And when did I jet over to Madagascar, stupid?
I hadn't figured that part out yet.
I got them at the dollar store.
Very exciting.
Dollar Tree.
I love that. Ooh,
to awesome. Be precise.
I can't wait to go and get mine.
They feature 1, 2, 3, looks to me like maybe 4 points of articulation. Not that you need a whole lot of articulation. Oh, maybe 1, 2, 3.
Well,
4,
what
five,
is it? It's elbows and knees?
No. It looks like hips, shoulders, and neck.
Oh, okay.
It's lips so and
it's,
assholes.
It's enough to pose. They really look great. They're really sort of generic-y, pirate-y kind of things. And, yeah, they're for a they buck actually, each, they're really great.
They actually anger me, those figures.
Why?
Because they're so good for a buck a piece. And I want them so bad for a buck a piece that it angers me that some of these other toys that I have no interest in and that I fucking hate sell for like 15 a piece and people buy them.
These are Zizzle makes the little ones, right?
The little Pirates of the Caribbean. One, yeah.
These are almost better than those.
Oh, those are way better. These are way better than the Zizzle ones.
The color scheme on those alone blows the Zizzle ones out of the water.
Look, even though this guy has safety orange pants, he is way better than every Zizzle piece out there, no matter what the size.
It's true.
On those Zizzle pieces, it looks like they painted it, but the paint just wants to come off the figure. You can see it pooling and you can see through it in some areas.
That's what I mean. The fact that they can make these and sell them for a dollar and turn some sort of profit, I'm guessing turn some sort of profit, is aggravating when you see these other products that they sell for so much more.
And the Sizzle pieces, hey, six-year-olds can't paint well. What can you say?
Does this say anything about toxicity and years? Because this is at danger for being highly toxic.
No, it's a choking hazard. Small parts not for children under 3. They give you as little information as you need.
The only information you need...
and color may vary. Remove all packaging before giving this toy to your child.
What?
That's it.
It's a dollar. That's what you need to know.
A buck. And it may be one of the best little pirate figures I've ever seen.
Well, I'm going to the Dollar Tree this week.
This is another one of those figures that it's a buck. You could buy like a million of them and have it and put a little game together.
Actually, what I plan to do, except they only have three different types.
Well,
what I plan to do is I'll probably pick up at least one or two of the Blackbeards, and then I'm going to buy maybe a handful of the other ones and see how well they take to paint. And if I can kind of maybe change at least the color scheme on the pants and stuff like that, could build like a crew.
Can I ask you something?
Just saying.
When are you going to do this?
I don't know. Find the time to do it.
He's going to do it right after our Witch King and Eowyn base project.
That's your project.
I just meant between
project.
His two jobs and this show, when's he going to do this?
I'll find the time. Don't you worry about me. I'll paint them in my sleep.
All right. You let me know when you're done.
All right, I will. Anyway, moving along. So Sam Raimi has announced what potentially is going to be his next project after Spider-Man 3.
Spider-Man 4.
No. The Shadow.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Wow.
He's going to be revisiting that classic character. That classic pulpy character.
So is this a sequel to
Alec Baldwin
Shadow of the early 90s? No.
No. I don't believe so.
Mid 90s?
No, I don't think so. I think this is Sam Raimi is going to reinvent the character for film. He says that he's been a fan of the character since he was a little kid, and he's always really thought about bringing the character to film. And he's got the opportunity to do it now, and he's going to run with it.
So. That's interesting.
That is interesting. And I like Sam Raimi, and I liked his directorial skills and how he handles films. He's proven that he can handle comic book films at the very least. So, actually, I kind of hope that he does go through with it.
Hey, I like the Alec Baldwin Shadow movie.
That's all right.
One of the three people.
It was much better than the Billy Zane Phantom movie.
I like that one too.
I know you did. Kind of sad, but
they're
okay.
Pulpy.
I know they're pulpy. They're supposed to be pulpy. They're pulpy characters, but
yeah.
But still,
that Shadow movie was pretty good. The design work was really good. I mean, it is what it is. It's not the greatest movie out there, but it's not a piece of shit either.
Sure. Well, Thomas Jane has come out and he started talking
really?
A little bit about the Punisher 2 film.
Gay to me at all?
No, not that kind of coming out jerk off. Started talking about Punisher 2 a little bit. He actually didn't have anything overly interesting to say other than it looks like Jigsaw is going to be the villain in the second film.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's kind of a unique crossover.
Not that. You're an ass tonight.
Are you
trying to screw the show? Is that what screwed is about?
I'm so angry. about our situation.
You're an ass. You're not angry. That's about it.
So it's not Tobin Bell from the Saw movies?
No, it's not Tobin Bell from the Saw movies. Jesus Christ.
Jigsaw, huh? Yeah. Well, actually, this is not the first I've heard the rumor, but if Thomas Jane is confirming that it's Jigsaw, mm-hmm. that's pretty cool. My question is, who's going to play him? Now, when this rumor first floated, the name that was attached was Michael Keaton.
Sure. I'd like to see him return.
I think that would be really great, Michael Keaton as Jigsaw, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I don't think Michael Keaton is really doing a whole lot of anything else right now that would perhaps take him away from doing the film, but you never know.
Like Judge Reinhold in Beverly Hills Cop 4?
Exactly.
I think he's available.
All right. He was good in that.
Yes. There was no movie yet. Fantastic.
No, he was in the third one.
I said Beverly Hills Cop 4.
You duped me yet again. You're screwed, apparently.
screwed.
The rumor surrounding Angelina Jolie and her role in Sin City 2 has, again, surfaced. It looks like, potentially, she's going to be portraying Ava Lord, the title character from A Dame to Kill For, which, as we know, is what's supposed to be the premise for the second film.
Right.
In addition to some original stuff that Frank Miller and Mr. Rodriguez are working on together. So whether or not that'll happen, Angelina hasn't confirmed it, although it keeps on coming up. She's actually talked about it and she's addressed it and said that it's not confirmed. I'm thinking it's probably in the works, but nothing's signed yet.
I know I'm going to get bashed, but she doesn't really do it for me.
I don't even know what she does. She's an actress, right? Not that she's just like famous.
No, she's an actress.
I know. I mean, she's in. I know.
She just doesn't do it for me. Everyone's so like.
She's pretty hot.
Oh my God, that's about Angelina. I mean, she's all right, but she's. I mean, I don't think she's like, wow.
Oh, no.
Stop and drop and
roll.
Yeah, well, pick my tongue up off the floor. Nudge, nudge. I don't think
she's. Not my tongue. But. I like her. I think she's pretty hot.
Wait. Slow down.
What?
Just saying.
What was that?
Nothing. No, you didn't.
I like her. I've liked her in a bunch of the films I've seen her in. I'd like to see her portray the role, so we'll see what happens. I'd like to see the movie get made, to be honest with you. With so much other talk about,
I like to see it get made too. The whole Angelina Jolie thing, I'm just like,
as long as she doesn't have to do an accent.
No, I don't believe she'll have to do an accent.
Well, I mean, if that was the least of her problems, I mean, I don't know. See, everyone's so gaga about her, I just don't get it.
Well, we'll see what happens if she
gets
the role.
I'm not saying she's not an attractive woman. I'm not saying I haven't spanked to Gia. I'm just saying.
That was TMI.
I'm just saying. You know?
So it looks like Priyanka Chopra has come up again in regards to her potentially being cast as Wonder Woman in the upcoming Joss Whedon Wonder Woman film.
Please withhold all stereotypical impersonations.
Actually, to be completely and totally honest with you,
Fantastic, what do you mean?
I really don't even give a flying leap about the Wonder Woman movie or about Priyanka Chopra. I'm really using her as a segue into more potential Firefly and Serenity talk.
Yes!
She was a segue.
Somehow that was going to lead to Transformers, and I was like waving it off. I was like, no.
No Transformers news tonight.
Oh, wow.
Very
really?
Happy to know.
That's the news.
That is the news.
What's next?
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Transformers.
Movie.
That's losing his mind.
Okay, now what's your Transformers news tonight, Matt?
There is none.
Oh, there you go. Okay, so now that's out of the way.
All right, great.
Firefly.
So what were you saying about Firefly? There's a lot of Firefly news.
Yeah, there's a couple of things I want to talk about first. First, I'd like to go back to our conversation from two episodes ago.
Okay.
Where I was pointed out and ridiculed and made to look bad, as is the case in
most
episodes.
You're a phony, a big phony.
In regards to my watching habits and Firefly.
Uh-huh.
And after re-listening to the episode and thinking about the episode, I came to realize that I've seen more Firefly than you, Kev.
WTF, man.
That's just not the truth, Matt.
That is completely the truth.
I have seen every bit of Firefly that there is out there.
You have so not the movie, seen every bit.
I've seen you all have the, seen the extras. Movie,
but you have not
I've
seen
watched
every
it with
episode.
The director's commentaries. I've watched fan-made...
I know for a fact.
Films, fan-made documentaries.
I don't even think you're on disc 3 of the set.
I have a whole disc of Serenity... comic panels from different comic conventions.
Notice
where they
film
the panels.
I bet you if you check his DVD collection right now in his Firefly box set, he's got like 2 disc 4s and he doesn't even know it.
He doesn't even know it?
Nope. My discs are all fine. You know how I know that, Fantastic?
How's that?
I watched them all.
You did not, you big
so
liar.
I find this attack on me insulting.
That's an
excellent
argument.
I find you insulting.
I believe him.
No, don't believe him. He's a liar. But anyway, moving away from that, Fox and Multiverse made an announcement last week.
Multiverse.
That they are currently developing an MMORPG.
Wait,
I don't care. That they are currently developing an MMORPG for Firefly and Serenity.
Ooh, a Firefly Massive?
Yep.
Sweet.
It looks like they are tentatively setting a release date for 2008.
Well, that's a bit off.
Well, not really when you consider 2007 is 3 weeks away. So maybe 2 years.
So we're going to go back to Star Wars?
Well,
then?
Okay. What they've said is that they want to create a game that is similar in that is similar to Star Wars Galaxies and EVE Online.
Okay.
So that's potentially good. But then they later say in their little release that they don't want to take a game like Star Wars Galaxies and just create a new skin for it.
Oh, well, there's where I disagree. They should just get Star Wars Galaxies before the flip, put
and
a new skin on it,
and
there
go
you go.
It.
Stop it.
Why? That would be great. Wow, that's really exciting news. I mean, any Firefly news is exciting news,
sure.
But the fact that we're actually going to get to at least revisit that universe, even if it's in massive format, is really, really exciting.
Any news on where the Firefly Massive takes place in the storyline
timeline? What they've said is that it does not involve the central characters of the show.
Which I like, because I can't stand people running around
right.
as characters in the middle of a massive.
What I kind of hope is that they're not ignored, that perhaps they're involved in some way, shape, or form. Kind of like in Galaxies where, you know, you didn't ever have to meet any of the Star Wars characters in the game if
were
you didn't really want to.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
if you wanted cool. to, and you were like, let's say you were pursuing becoming a rebel, you would eventually meet Solo and Leia and Luke. And all their only purpose in the game was to give you missions to do, to move yourself along. So if what you're doing is, you know, doing a mission maybe for the Alliance,
right.
if the game is broken up into the Alliance and the Independence, let's say.
Right.
You know, that would make sense. That would be okay. I could see them bringing in some characters in the background and stuff like that.
You know what I used to like doing, Fantastic?
What's that?
I would go up to Boba Fett in Jabba's palace and just start publicly smacking him around.
And then what did he do?
I would just be like, smack, smack. And, you know, it would be like Soupy DiGiorno smacks Boba Fett across the face or kicks him in the nuts or whatever.
Nothing
and
really
it,
happened.
It made everyone laugh.
I get it. I get
he
that.
Never attacked, though.
No, I get that.
So they're developing this game, and hopefully they'll do it right, and it'll be fun, and it'll allow us to revisit the universe. Although it kind of frustrates me to know that Fox is acknowledging the fact that there is a fan base, enough of a fan base to put a lot of money into producing a game.
Yeah, that they can potentially make a lot of money from.
Right, but they won't consider revisiting a show, a spinoff show, another movie, anything else having to do with the show itself.
I think that's a wait and see thing too.
Well, I mean, there has been some speculation among some fans and on some of the Firefly fan sites and stuff like that, that they're potentially going to use, much like they used the success of some of the DVD sales and the fan outcry to
Family Guy
to do right. Family Guy, based on sales of the game and how well it does to maybe potentially revisit it in the future, but who knows?
Well, let's hope so. And speaking of Firefly, out in California last week.
Burbank, I believe.
Yeah, they had their first big flanvention.
Yes, they did. which was almost a failure, sort of.
Okay, so the story as I understand it, and I can't wait to see the emails correcting me. The story as I understand it is that the night before the, I guess it was supposed to be like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday deal.
I believe so.
Or a Saturday, Sunday deal, something like that. The night before the show was supposed to open, the promoter canceled the show.
Okay, now just to interject here, the show was sold out.
Oh, yeah, sold out. Over 500 pre-sold tickets.
Yeah. I mean, they had, you know, it's not like they weren't expecting a turnout.
And they came from all over the world.
Yep. People from across the pond.
Yeah.
As they say.
Britain and Germany and some Asians.
Yes.
As well. So they canceled the show the night before the promoter guy canceled the show.
Right.
Well, the Firefly Flans, see?
Flans is
got
right.
Got me doing it. The Firefly fans in California weren't going to stand for this. So they all started, they got on their computers and started networking. And they actually got a place to do the convention, like, and did it themselves. And
no.
Started bussing people, absolutely true story, bussing people from where the convention was supposed to be to the new secret location of the thing. And the night before the convention, or the night between the two nights of the convention or something like that. In addition to that, all of the stars of the show who were there, I think it was most of them too, wasn't it? They were all down in the bar of the hotel just hanging out, meeting and greeting fans and signing and talking and just
yeah, because they had all been in town in anticipation of the event.
And none of them got paid. None of the guys got an appearance fee. They all just did it for the fans. It was so... It reached everybody's ears at this point. The guy who plays Wash, what's his name?
Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk.
I believe it's Alan.
Who was not scheduled, the guy who plays Wash, who was not scheduled to be at the con because of a conflict, actually arrives at the bar at like 2 or 3 in the morning.
Something like that.
To hang out with the fans and carouse and so on and so forth. On top of that, at the convention the next day, during his part of the speech when they get up and talk or whatever, Nathan Fillion, who plays Malcolm Reynolds, starts Captain Mal, starts giving out stuff from the show.
Yeah.
And I don't mean stuff from the show like posters and shit. I mean stuff from the show like props and shit.
He travels with props?
No, I mean, I guess he just, you know, I guess when you get something that you feel, these guys have got to be smart now because, I mean, Star Trek and all that stuff, you know, all of those original props and everything, they sell for thousands of dollars on eBay. Yeah. Now you got that type of show that had, even when they were doing it, they knew, I mean, they had to know that something was, you know, something was going to be up. And so maybe you pocket a couple. I'm not saying it's bad or anything. Hell, I'd have done it. I'd have taken everything that I could fit under my everything and I'd have walked out. Even if I did a guest spot where I played a dead guy, I'd have taken the dead guy's boots and my shirt and any of that other little stuff that I could have snuck away with. I'd have took all of that stuff. And the point is that here's the star of the show. He probably has little things that he just kept, and now he's giving them to the fans at the just giving them out like, oh, that's a great question, here, why don't you take this thing from the show.
Let me answer it by giving my laser gun.
Yeah,
I don't know. Well, I don't know if he gave that.
No, he
up.
Doesn't have a laser though. He had like an old revolver or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
right?
And
only a handful of the characters on the show had a laser.
Yeah, only the privilege
and the and giving the stuff away is incredible. It was just incredible. I'm so jealous that I wasn't there to just be part of that experience. I, as we all know, am a brown coat, which is what you would call a fanatical Firefly fan, much like you would call a Trekkie, a fanatical Star Trek fan, a Trekkie. The fanatical Firefly fans are called brown coats.
Okay.
And I would have loved to have just been there for that experience, to walk up to that convention that day and hear it's been canceled, but hey, get on this bus and we're going to take you somewhere. Don't say anything. And then you go off and it's there's the con, more
he makes
or less.
A face like, I'm in.
I'm there.
Plus, I don't know where I'm going.
I don't know
in.
Either. All I know is there's a bunch of guys dressed up with brown coats getting on this bus, and I'm getting on the bus with them. Wherever they're going, I'm
yes.
going. I am so pissed off that, A, I didn't experience this, and B, that they're never going to do one on the East Coast.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well, let's hope they do one on the West Coast again.
Flanvention 1 was it's just another case of these fans are going to get what they want.
Well, they are a dedicated bunch.
That's the truth. Good for them. Yeah, I'm jealous as hell. There's so much Firefly stuff happening online and underground. It's like, well, I can't even keep up. I'm trying so desperately to just, you know, be a part of some little part of it somewhere. And it's, first of all, it's all on the left coast.
Yeah. Right.
And it's so underground that you really have to dig and prod and poke and find on the internet to actually get, I'm talking about getting like replica stuff or t-shirts. I have what now, Matt? 9, I think, Firefly t-shirts.
At least.
I mean, like that kind of stuff is the stuff that I enjoy. And there's all sorts of music and all sorts of great stuff out there. And it's so hard to come by.
Well, some of the sites you might want to check out is fireflyfans.net.
Right.
Fashionablybrown.com. And there's a third one, too, that it's just eluding me right now. But actually, if you go to either of those two sites, you can get links to most
30
of
other sites.
The other pretty good sites that are out there.
And there are people who are making the knit cap.
Jane's hat.
Jane's hat. Yeah, Jane. Jane's hat. They're making the knit Jane's hat. And they're making everything.
Oh yeah, there's a company out there now that's doing Mal's boots. There's a company out there that does his duster. You can get replicas of his pistol.
Can only imagine.
You can get replicas of this. You can get a full Mal outfit for, you could probably put one together for just under $2,000.
Wow, really?
Well, the boots run like between $300 and $400.
Oh, that's crazy.
A leather dust. Well, it's all the leather products that are really expensive.
Yeah,
the duster, a full leather duster, like he wears
was
on
that
the show.
Leather?
Yeah, presumably.
I think so, yeah.
It didn't look leather.
You know,
it's brown.
$500 or $600, somewhere around there. That kind of stuff. You can get a bunch of the replica patches, the Independence patch, the Alliance patch, the Mechanics patch. You can get all that stuff now. So you can find them. A bunch
Kaylee's
of that stuff's
hot.
Out there. You can get Kaylee's. You can get a Kaylee jumpsuit for like dirt.
Let me ask you something.
Does
about Kaylee.
Does Kaylee come in the jumpsuit?
No.
She would if I was with her.
Oh, God.
What?
I didn't know how that was going. Do you think that Kaylee was hotter in the movie or in the show? Because she's changed in the movie.
She
definitely lost weight. She looks thinner.
I don't really think we should talk about the movie.
What?
Someone in the room hasn't seen the movie. Fantastic.
No, he has. He told me.
No, he didn't.
I don't care. You could talk about Kaylee in the movie.
But he hangs out like
she's,
you.
No, I think she's hotter. She's not more or less hot than she was in the TV show.
I think she's hotter in the show. She's got a little more something on her.
I think she's still cuter. Hot now, today. Right now, somewhere, that woman that played Kaylee, whose name I forget, do you know the name?
Her last name is, I want to say it's Straight or Strain or...
But gets paid.
It's eluding.
Fantastic. Can you look up the name of the person who plays Kaylee on Firefly?
Yeah, it's eluding me right now.
Please input command codes. Command codes verified. Transfer complete.
Well, it's kind of a weird name. It's Jewel State.
State?
Yeah, it's S-T-A-I-T-E or something like that.
Yeah,
State,
exactly.
Like straight, like George Strait with no R.
With no R, yeah.
Wow, thank you, Fantastic. So wherever she is right now, Fantastic, she's hot. So, yeah, no, I don't believe she's any more or less hot in the TV show versus the film. She's just hot. She needs to do more work as Kaylee.
Well, she's not doing anything as Kaylee in the near future, but I believe that she's going to be joining the cast in a temporary position, I believe, of Stargate Atlantis in the near future if she hasn't already.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got to start watching that. Fantastic. Is there any information on Jewel State's current assignments, current jobs?
Transfer complete.
Yeah, it looks like after Serenity, Matt's right, Stargate Atlantis, followed by The Tribe.
I don't know what The Tribe is.
Wow, thank you, Fantastic.
She plays Liz in The Tribe, says 2007 post-production.
Oh, huh. Okay. Look forward to that. They never made an action figure of her. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah. I was looking back at those action figures the other day. Don't
you dare.
What?
Don't you dare besmirch those action figures.
No, I don't want to besmirch them so much as I want to say that they really, what they did, two Mals, a regular and an exclusive.
Uh-huh.
They did three. Two Janes, right?
Three Mals, if you count the bagged one.
Oh, right. Okay. Three Mals, right?
Right.
Two carded Mals and a bagged Mal.
Right.
Two Janes and a Reaver.
Two Janes and two Reavers.
Oh, was there an exclusive Reaver also?
Exclusive Reaver at New York Comic Con last
year. Oh, okay. So, like, I mean, I can understand, not that I agree with it, but I can understand maybe not doing, like, Inara, right?
Why?
Again, not that I agree with it, but I could see maybe not doing that character. But how do you not do Zoe or Wash?
Willow.
Here's my
or
point.
Or River.
Here's my point.
Or Book.
Did you just say Willow?
Yeah. For some reason, I thought her name was Willow, but that's just...
River.
Yeah,
River.
Exactly.
Or Wash. Or Book. I mean...
Right. Here's my point.
Again, I could see maybe not doing Simon. Maybe.
The point that they stopped making them... because the series went off the air. But considering everything that's gone on, why hasn't Diamond Direct picked up the ball and made more figures?
How many years has Buffy been off the air now? And there's like four new waves of Buffy figures a fucking year that come out.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so my point being, the fact that the show is over or canceled has nothing to do, or should have nothing to do with
right.
the fact that a figure line... would be stopped.
I think Diamond Select really needs to pick up the ball here. They're really missing out.
I hope so. We should talk to, we should talk to somebody about it.
No.
And
we might as well talk to that wall.
Yeah, exactly. And
yes, we're aware of the time. Fantastic.
And,
thank you.
And that's it. I don't got nothing else for tonight, though, for the news. I'm done.
Okay. Well, we got to clear. We got to clear out this ourselves and strap in for the next segment.
Right.
And we're not even going to tease it. We're just going to go to break. And when we come back, you got to prepare to hear this story, kids. Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, the upcoming comic book Shadow Flame from Arcana Studios.
Shadow Flame is written and drawn by Joe Martino and is a story of murder, suicide, genocide, and rebirth on a cosmic scale. It is a story of redemption and a man who has nothing to lose and becomes Earth's only hope.
So ask for Shadow Flame at your local comics retailer coming this February.
For more information, you can go to arcanastudio.com. That's ArcanaStudio.com.
Shadow Flame from Arcana Studios.
Rosario Dawson from Clerks 2, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Jeff.
Yes.
Jeff Beckett, president of Shocker Toys. How are you this evening?
Good. How are you?
Good. Big Kev, Matt, and Mr. Fantastic here with you tonight.
Hey, Jeff.
How you doing, guys?
How's it going, Jeff?
Good.
Not so good, Jeff. Don't lie. Let's not start off lying, Jeff.
It's fun. Let's say that.
Yeah.
Jeff, we've been hearing things. We've talked a lot about your... Indie. Now what do you call the line?
We call the line Indie Spotlight.
Indie Spotlight. Okay. We call it Indie Legends, but I guess we really shouldn't do that anymore.
Yes. I can tell you that we chose the name because we wanted to actually put emphasis on the properties themselves as opposed to something that happened already, like a legend of sorts. We wanted it to be more like a spotlight, so it's on the characters themselves, the creators, right. Everything all in one.
Right. And can you give us a little overview of you know, where you went with this, why you wanted to start this line, and so on and so forth? Now, before you answer that, I know that you've had a lot of trouble, but before we dive into the deep end of the pool, let's dip our toes into the early days of Indie Spotlight and find out where it came from.
Basically, as you know, we did our smaller block figure line, the Shaquinis.
Shaquinis. Right. We love the Shaquinis.
Yes, and we had done a few licensed properties in that, some comic characters that we had used. You know, we did the Tomsk Avenger, and we did Cade, the comic line.
Right.
So we thought about doing something a little bigger than that. You know, we said, I'd like to do a full-size action figure. And basically, that's where Indie Spotlight started to roll around. We actually didn't even have a name for it then. This is probably going back, about a year and a half now.
Right, about a year and a half. Uh-huh.
Yep. So we just didn't have a name. We had a list that we were working from, looking at properties, speaking to everybody, speaking to creators, fans, trying to get as much input as we could. You know, we had a few people involved in the line because, of course, at Shocker Toys, there's more than one person involved.
Right.
So we got as many people involved as we could to feel everything out. And then we went from there and started pursuing the licenses, you know, to add up for the line and then, of course, picking the actual lineup for Series 1.
And what was that original lineup?
The original lineup happened to be Witchblade.
Right.
Judge Death from 2000 AD.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it was Madman and Shadowhawk.
Yes. Right, right. And, okay, so you have this idea... You start work on the products, and what happened then?
Well, we had the idea, and we pitched it to all the companies, and we said, you know, this is what we want to do. We assumed the creators were going to be happy, saying, you know, these people want to do an independent line. It'd be something great for everybody involved. And we wanted to stick closely with them and work with everybody. You know, our first lineup, as I said, some things... you know, most of the licenses that we had actually at that time, you know, waiting for contracts, we wanted to get something to San Diego Comic-Con, you know, to have people talk about it and everything,
right.
Put their input in. So we had actually email confirmations from everybody stating that we had the licenses. But for some reason, I guess that didn't hold. And it's not that it didn't hold in effect like we didn't have the license, but... you know, other people were trying to get the license as well, another company.
Right.
So
you can basically, if you can say that company if you want to.
I'll let you say that company.
Okay. Of course, it would be our friends over at Toy Biz.
Really?
Right?
Never heard of that company.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He doesn't know Jesse either.
Oh, yeah. We're... not real big fans over here,
no, not
Jeff.
So much.
Yeah.
Not really big. Okay, so you have your first lineup. You make the announcement. Here we come. We are trying to get all these licenses together, and we're going to do all these characters. That's correct.
So we show up at the show. You know, we bring with us our sculpts and everything. And we happen to find out, being in the crowd at one of the meetings,
panel discussions,
yes, that someone else had picked up the line as well. That's when we kind of put two and two together and said, what's going on here? We had asked about it. Basically, what was broken down to us was that someone was interested in doing, you know, the fully super articulated Spider-Man, which I think has, what, how many points of articulation is on them? A lot, right?
Definitely, I think they're up to, like, 70.
Yeah. What I was told was that basically they were going to be like that.
Okay.
You know, that something was going to be like that. And also other people were told that had asked that day because, you know, I guess word caught around. So we basically told them, well, you know, we don't want to compete with any other with this other company or any other company, because you know this line was pitched as for the creators, for the fans, and everything. And we wanted to try to, you know, original, and we came up with it first, and we just wanted to get it out there, and we thought it would be really great.
So somebody out there, when you show up at San Diego, somebody announces at a panel discussion that they are going with Toy Biz to make figures.
That's correct.
What company was that? Was that?
Well, I mean, I can say who said it. It was Seth Green said Seth Toy Green. Biz.
That Toy Biz would be doing what, figures from the freshmen, I guess?
Yes. So I'm quoting Seth as what he said on the panel, which has been recorded and everything. You know, we happened to say, well, what's going on here? You know, and that's when we discussed it with Top Cow. And we just basically, after the show, we just let everything go. After the show, we decided we're going to redo everything. But at that time, actually, when we got back, we had also caught wind of 2000 AD. They wanted to change stipulations in the contract that were already, that was already done.
Right.
But, you know, we can't do that. The contract's already finished, and, you know, and we basically want to keep.
You're working on the piece already as it's going to be in your first line.
That's correct.
So you're shelling out all these creative dollars to get these clays done.
That's correct. We're already at two sculpts now. So now we're at two. Plus we have our Shaft Hawk, which is still in the line. Which is touched up and finished. But, so, you know, we basically said, okay, you know, we can't do something like this because we wanted to treat all of our licensees the same, basically. We didn't want to have, in a line so big, you can't really pick and choose. You have to try to treat everybody equally, the same as they would treat you.
Right.
Right.
So we thought.
So what happens here is, because of whatever this new information is, you're forced to change your lineup.
That's correct. After it's already started, we were forced to change our lineup. Now, you know, as we say with Top Cow, everybody says you didn't have the contract or whatever said online. We basically did. But, you know, we felt it, you know, when we said we refocused the line, we technically had to refocus. You know, Toy Biz is a bigger company. Sure. So when it was mentioned that they were doing a line, you know, we decided to just step back and say, okay, let's rethink what we're going to do.
Right.
We still want to do our own individual line.
Right.
So we don't want to ride off anybody's coattails or anything like that. So even though we developed the line first and everything and developed the whole concept of gathering the characters, we decided to just reamp our line, which is what we did. And we put out a press release. And, of course, then our line changed, which that lineup was Shadowhawk, Madman, Scud, and Pichu from Strangers in Paradise.
Hey, can I just interrupt your storytelling here and tell you that I bow to you, Jeff, for making a Scud action figure? Should have been done 10 years ago, whenever that book was, by early 90s. That's one of my favorite comics of all time. I am jazzed beyond belief that you're doing a Scud action figure.
Mine too. I definitely wanted to do Scud. That was always in my. I always wanted to do that. So.
And you must have found the elusive Rob Schrab to actually get that done.
Yes, I went through many emails. The website didn't work. The brother got nothing. back and finally one day I got an email. So then it all worked out from there.
Oh, did you? I was going to say, did you have to actually go to Michigan or Detroit and see the Dead Alewives or?
How to? I was about to get on the train or the airplane and get down there. So
that's funny.
Yeah. So like I say, that's where we come into the fact that sometimes it's hard to find the creators.
Yeah.
You have to research. You know, I mean, there's ones that we found that said no. You know, that haven't seen the light of day for a long time.
Wow. Wow. Really? Are you allowed to tell us who? Are you allowed to tell us who said no? Was it Quantum and Woody? Was it them?
Let's just say it's like older characters. Let's say it's like the beginning of the independent publishing.
Okay. Sure, okay. I understand.
That made independent publishing big. But, you know, they've been moved on with other things now since those have gone away. So I think that I understand where they don't want to be thrust back into it and, you know, because it's gone and everything. So well, then, up alone, we say, no problem.
If Quantum and Woody wasn't one of them, let me officially pitch that idea right now. Quantum and Woody.
Okay. I've taken it down. It's in my notes.
And the goat.
And no, they did the GOAT.
Oh, they did the GOAT?
Yeah, they did the GOAT as an in-action figure.
Oh, right, okay.
It was like the first in-action figure ever, I think.
Yep.
Okay, so now you've changed your lineup. Now, now this is, we're kind of midway in this story. Now you're going with, at that point, you were going with Kachu from Strangers in Paradise, Scud from Scud the Disposable Assassin, Shadowhawk from Shadowhawk, and Madman from Mike Allred's Mad Mag Comics.
That's correct.
Okay, so what happens then?
Well, we get everything sculpted. We're getting it sculpted now, actually. Everything, you know, as we say, Shadowhawk's touched up, finished. We finished the sculpt, or started to finish the sculpt of Madman. It took a while for approval, or to actually get a hold of
The elusive Mike Allred.
Yes, and our sculptor actually didn't even have turnarounds. We weren't given any, so he tried to work with what he had, which I think it came out really good.
Right.
You know, there was a few small details that needed to be changed. Of course, we posted a picture of in-progress sculpt, nothing approved. It wasn't, you know, pre-sales or anything like that.
Right.
And I forget how this came about, but we had found out, again, that, you know, people were looking at the property. Now, we had already kind of found out because Jim Valentino for Shadowhawk had mentioned to his, mentioned us that he was approached as well.
By Toy Biz?
Well, yes, by another company. Okay. And
you say another company, I say Toy Biz, tomato,
good.
Asshole, tomato. Whatever.
So, yes, he was approached and he said, no, you know, we're working with Shocker Toys.
Right.
Because technically, in our contracts, I mean, you know, it states a specific size, a specific points of articulation and up. So, you know, we feel that we should be guarded on that fact and not have to worry about somebody stepping in on it. There's plenty of other properties out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to want to take one from us, I mean, I'm little. I'm Shocker Toys. I really, you know, I'm a fan-driven toy company. You know, I do what we want to do.
Right.
It's a bunch of people together who get together and discuss things and want to do the stuff that they want to do. And it's just odd that anybody who would be slightly bigger than us, or even if some people say they might not be as big as us, you know, but they have certainly more pull. You know, if you've produced a line that's in every store like Walmart stuff.
Right. Right.
You know, to just step in.
And hey, if you've even produced lines within lines specifically for Walmart.
That's correct.
Right.
And to just step in and say, you know, I'm going to take this, I just don't feel that that's very, very good in the business world for any company to do that.
Right.
You know, names, it's no names, but I just think that, you know, if okay. there's plenty of room, there's plenty of properties out there, especially in independent line.
Okay, so you find out, I guess, that that Jim Valentino has been approached to have Shadowhawk done by Toy Biz, or as you like to call it, that other company. And what, Mike Allred is approached as well?
That's correct, and so is Steve Rude for Nexus and the Moth.
Right.
Wow.
And Steve Rude says right away no as well, because at first the line was pitched to him as something different, and then he comes to find out, no, it's exactly the same, and he says, mm-mm. You tried to pull one, you know, it's not, it's exactly the same as what Shocker Toys is doing. So, you know, we're going to say no as well, because we're already signed with Shocker Toys.
All right, good for Steve Rude.
Yes, and I'm very happy about that. I'm very happy that he, you know, stood up and protected a line that I think is going to be great. You know,
okay.
I wish everybody would.
So, and I'm guessing probably the people at Toy Biz were not able to find Rob Schrab, so that was probably not an issue.
Yes, and we already checked with him, anyways. Trust me. After we found out about this, all of Wave One was cleared. This new one that was announced was cleared for sure. Who wanted to make sure that everything was okay?
Okay, I mean, so you find out that these guys are being approached. Mike Allred is approached.
Yes.
And what happened there?
Basically, you know, Mike's a good guy. He's got a good property, but he feels that the contracts that, you know, should be that, you know, two companies can do the same line, which technically it really
is retarded. Like,
yeah, technically. I mean, you can't do that to somebody, you know. I mean, I can understand how technically it might be legal, but I don't even think it is. I don't, you know, I've checked with it, and when you have a non-exclusive contract, but it's still specific to size and articulation, then, you know, you don't want to lock up the property from statues in that size, or, you know, maybe something with less articulation.
Right. Who would say that? Who would say, yeah, two companies should make virtually the same thing?
I know his name, but I would say it. I think you do. He works for a company. You know, he could say, hey, there's three companies making Pirates of the Caribbean. So why can't two companies make, the same?
Yeah, because, oh, my God. All right, let's just bring it up. So,
I say comics are, you know, independent comics are hard enough to even get in the market for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and to just have one out is something good.
Let me ask you this point blank. Let me ask you this question. Did Jesse Falcon say to you, did he compare an indie spotlight, your indie spotlight line, to Pirates of the Caribbean?
I can't comment on that. I can't.
Okay, well, I'll extrapolate that's what occurred.
I can only say that someone stated that, you know, this whole thing, this whole situation is like Sideshow and, you know, NECA or three other companies, you know, Zizzle making Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, NECA and Sizzle, basically. And there is a world of difference between NECA and Sizzle.
Thank you.
A world of difference.
Yeah.
Several worlds of differences. And it's also...
With a line like that, with Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, we understand it's a movie. Everybody's going to watch it.
Sure.
Of course. I mean, you know.
How many people have read Madman? How many 9-year-olds have read Madman versus how many 9-year-olds have seen Pirates of the Caribbean? What an absolutely asinine analogy to make. Absolutely asinine. That money-grubbing bastard. God, I hate that guy. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so Mike Allred says, why not let both companies produce it? Which is obviously a bug planted in his ear by someone at another company, as you say, or as I say, Jesse Falcon of Toy Biz.
We also know that, of course, Madman has gone back to Image.
Right.
And we know who the head of Image is.
Right, Eric Larson.
And we know what property will probably lie with that other company as well, which has already been talked about over the internet.
Right. Right, that Savage Dragon is going to be done by Toy Biz as well?
I think that's what's going around the internet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's going around, all right.
So we can kind of see why maybe, you know, some of the things transpired that did. You know, the problem is that Image, of course, I mean, Shadowhawk is the vice president of the company's, you know, character. So basically, Image is not run like Top Cow. Image has independent creators who still have their own rights.
Right.
You know, and if they're not fooled, then, you know, they're going to stick with what they want to do, which is great.
Okay, so yeah. Allred says both companies should do it. Why not? And so on and so forth. And so what happens then?
Well, basically, we had spoken to a few other people as well. We happened to get wind of a comment. I won't say from who, but the comment basically said, you know, we're going to be in... Toys R Us, Walmart, this other company has no chance, so you want to
fight about it. Gee, I wonder who said that. What a complete...
You know, lines like this and characters like that really have no home in stores like Toys R Us and Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Walmart and Toys R Us has a hard enough time selling through on characters that are in everybody's face all the time. X-Men characters and Spider-Man characters and so forth.
Justice League and Justice League.
Exactly.
And then I mentioned Justice League.
So, you know, these independent characters really have homes in
specialty
stores, specialty stores,
comic shops,
and stuff like that. I can't see the benefit of putting this stuff in a Toys R Us or a Walmart.
Well, this is what makes the independent line independent. And even if we had gotten in those stores, you know, I think that it still would have been good for everybody for the exposure. But you know, it has to be done right. It just can't be put in there as, you know, five characters that nobody knows, or, you know, like in your face, like you say all the time.
Right.
Each character has its own fan base. You know, they're going to come with their comics, but they'll be side by side. But, you know, that's why we have properties such as, like, you know, Dick Tracy and stuff like that.
Right.
Because we want to, that's going to touch base with a big fan base.
Okay, so basically, after the screw job, where's Mike Allred land?
We say the same thing. We basically did the same thing we did with Top Cow. You know, we said, you know, we don't feel, we, of course, we voiced that we didn't feel, you know, everything was right. And, you know, we decided that it was time to redo the Indie Spotlight and the layout again.
Okay.
This is another sculpt that's gone by. So we're talking three sculpts now.
Right. Three sculpts.
Wow.
That are basically useless to you that you've paid to have done.
That's correct.
And now you're going into your third wave one assortment. And who is in this wave now?
Now in this wave, we've replaced one of the characters with Kabuki. So it is Shadowhawk, Scud, Kachu, and Kabuki. David Max Kabuki.
Right, so we know where Allred fell on the side of money. Good. Way to go, Mike. I'm sure that's...
I haven't heard back.
Oh, you haven't heard back?
No, I think my sculptor had submitted the bill.
Oh, really? Good. Good. I hope he pays the bill. Isn't there some kind of Mormon values or something that wouldn't allow him to fall on the side of cash or something?
I don't know. I wish there was some kind of a comic book unite, you know, Unitarian thing that says, you know, that they want to stick something after this.
I wish there was too. Okay, so now we have the four characters in wave one, and they're set and they're being worked on. Despite the fact that old snake in the grass Jesse Falcon is working hard to screw these licenses out from under you.
Yes, we're working on series one very hard.
And when are we looking for? When are we thinking about a release date for these, Jeff?
Series one, we plan to premiere series one at Toy Fair in February.
Okay, wow.
Along with that, should be an announcement for series two.
Great. So you don't you don't want to give us the world exclusive on series two here on Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
We might be able to before the show, before Toy Fair.
Ooh, we'll take it.
Yeah.
Okay, go on.
We're also doing, don't forget, we still have the Shaquinis.
Right,
of course.
They're going to have their own independent indie spotlight line as well, which will feature eight characters in two packs.
Okay, and what do we have in series one of the independent spotlight Shaquinis?
Well, basically, I can announce that it's everybody... that you see now,
right?
In series one of the full size action figures, and then there'll be four characters that are yet to be announced.
Okay, is that?
I think one of them's got a jacket and a yellow hat.
Okay, gotcha, okay. Gotcha. And are these going to be announced at Toy Fair as well?
No, we will announce the Shaquini Independent Spotlight Series One for Toy Fair, but because we're actually working on the designs. And right after this, Series 1 is sculpted for the 6-inch line, or 6 1/4, then we will have begin sculpting on the pieces for the, you know, the Shaquini Independent Spotlight Series 1.
How are we going to space these out, Jeff, between Series 1 and 2 of the 6 1/4-inch line? So we're looking at, you're going to premiere them at Toy Fair, so you're looking at, what, March, maybe April for the actual street?
I believe so, yeah. We have said springtime.
Okay, and when would we look for Series 2 then? Over the summer or in the fall?
I think we might be able to jump in summer because we'll already be working on it at that time.
Great.
Yeah, we want to try to have both done. It's kind of similar to our Guar line as well. You know, we do wave one, we're already working on wave two.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, the Guar figures were cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, very, very cool license.
Yes, they're already in Diamond right now. So if anybody wants them, go to Diamond. They're in previews.
There you go.
Oh, awesome.
Go right over to previews at your local comic book retailer and tell them that you want your GWAR action figures, and also tell them not to forget to order their indie spotlights for the springtime.
That's right.
Excellent. Well, Jeff, I have to tell you, there's good and bad here, and the good is that you're still pushing ahead, that you have some amazing licenses that you're still going to do, and like I said earlier, the Scud thing, hey, more power to you. Do more characters from Scud. You know, I guarantee you, you're going to sell through on them like crazy. Everybody remembers that comic and then the games that followed and everything else. And wow.
And the human arm. So.
Yeah, the human arm. Yeah, you can even do, what was the squid character? Was that Jeff? Was that the name of that character?
Oh, I don't remember.
Oh, man, that was some great stuff. I'm going to go read those now again. That's how much I'm so jacked about seeing a toy made. The good here is that you're moving on with what you have in your great licenses. The bad is it's just another feather in the ass cap of Jesse Falcon. Just a miracle that this man has survived this long in the business, doing business the way that he does. It's just it. I want to say that it's shocking. It's just not shocking to me.
Yeah,
the guy's a snake in the grass. The guy has never spoken out of one side of his mouth without speaking the absolute opposite out of the other side of his mouth. Guy is floating on cloud nine that he created Marvel Legends and made them the success that they are today, which they lost and is now at Hasbro. Thank God, but not really, because they're not really doing much better with it.
We didn't have articulated action figures a long time ago, though, didn't we? Like super articulated, close?
Yeah, well, he's taking responsibility for the super articulation movement, which, quite frankly, I find ridiculous, but... Hey, that's neither here nor there. What I can say is that, you know, every word the man has ever said, he has gone back on. Even most recently, in the current wave, in the MODOK wave, there is a Chase figure, which he vowed that Toy Biz would never do another Chase figure. And they have Asgardian armor Iron Man, and his counterpart, his Chase figure, is Destroyer. Who's won per so many cases, something he vowed would never happen again. Well, there it is. They're going to screw people as they walk out the door. And apparently they're going to screw people, and particularly you, Jeff, as you try to walk into the door. I feel for you. I'm glad you're picking up and moving on. I can't wait to see the indie spotlight figures, and I can't wait to see how Toy Biz ruins the licenses that they were granted. Let me ask you this. That Pit figure in Toy Fair that no one knows anything about, that's one of them, isn't it?
It's not mine.
Yeah, okay. Well, that solves that mystery, kids. So whoever was teasing that, like, ooh, we don't know who did it. It just showed up on our doorstep one day with a note attached to it. Did it? No, it didn't. You know exactly where it came from and who did it.
Stupid. Did I see a little bit of the Hulk in there?
Yeah, a little bit. Just a little.
Ugh.
It's a shame. It's a shame. And Jeff, we're gonna stick with you 100% here. You let us know, you know what you want us to announce, we'll announce. We are part of the independent spirit, the independent movement, and I'm stunned, flabbergasted. I feel bad for you that you had to deal with this nut wad, and I look forward to seeing you and your product at Toy Fair.
Cool. I mean, we're glad that we got you guys. You know, we're glad that we got the fans, the comic fans, the comic creators, you know, to work with us. You know, and I'm glad that we have everybody involved with Shocker Toys as well, you know, to make sure they research everything and you know, that we make sure that we make it as fun as possible and as fan-driven as possible for the fans.
And let's give you know, it a... Oh, sorry, Jeff, go ahead.
I said I might come off like people might think that I'm a jerk sometimes, but if you ever meet me, which you have...
Of
you know, that I'm a good guy. I just, you know, I don't, I like to stand up for what I believe in.
Sure.
Absolutely. And let's give while we're here giving a little props, let's give some to guys like Steve Rude and Jim Valentino and Terry Moore sticking by, and Rob Schrab, the elusive Rob Schrab, for sticking by Jeff and not letting the big bullshit business interfere with the deals as they were made. What a damn shame. What an utter fool Mike Allred is to think that Madman's going to be this huge seller in Walmart. Nobody's read the book, Mike, in 8 years. Ugh, makes me ill. It really makes me ill when people are so stupid and out of touch. Jeff, thanks so much for being on the show, and we'll talk to you real soon.
No problem. Yeah, we'll definitely be in touch, and make sure to come by the website, www.shockertoys.com. We're always taking feedback.
Yes, that's right. www.shockertoys.com.
That's correct.
TOYS.
Yes, shockertoys.com.
Everybody Perfect. Listening to this show should go over there. Check it out. You guys got some independent characters that you like. I brought up some on this show already, Quantum and Woody. I think they should be done, and I think that Jeff should get out there and get those characters. You have some independents that you like that haven't been mentioned here. Hey, drop Jeff a line. Let him investigate. Let him find out. Let him get a deal down on paper before old Snake in the Grass gets his fingers wrapped up in it. All right, Jeff, thanks a lot. We'll see you soon.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Take care.
Matt, they're going to do it again. New York Comic Con is returning this February.
That's right. February 23rd, 24th, and 25th at the Jacob Javits Convention Center, right in the heart of Manhattan.
Did you see the guest list on this thing? Stan the Man Lee.
Excelsior.
Ugh. J. Michael Straczynski and the one and only Kevin Smith.
Ooh.
And the three and only us.
All right.
The Big Kev's Geek Stuff staff, myself, Matt, and Mr. Fantastic.
At his first con appearance
That's
ever.
True. His first con appearance ever.
In addition, this year, the New York Comic Con is hosting the 2007 Anime Awards.
In addition to that, Matt, there'll be tons of gaming, comics, toys, displays, special functions, exclusives. I'm sure they're going to have the entire gamut of the convention scene at this amazing convention.
You can go to www.nyccomiccon.com for more information. That's NewYorkComicCon.com.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada.
Hey, this is Lance Guest from The Last Starfighter, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
It'll be a slaughter!
That's the spirit!
Did you know that you can advertise with Big Kev's Geek Stuff and reach tens of thousands of people a day?
Actually, Kev, it's over 10,000 people a month.
And that your advertisement can be seen on our home site, BigKev'sGeekStuff.com, by literally millions of people.
Not quite that much, Kev.
And did you know that we have advertising packages available for every budget, even if you got only a penny?
There's no penny advertising plans, Kev.
Do I know anything about advertising?
Not at all.
On this show? Well, maybe you should tell us more about it.
For more information on advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you can go to BigKev'sGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link, or shoot us an email at BigKev'sGeekStuff@gmail.com.
I'm so excited!
It's so screwed up.
You know,
I just you know what? As much of a scumbag as he normally is, this is just, it's underhanded, and it's just, oh, that's business. I'm sure that's what he would say.
You know what? Let's not focus on the negative. Let's praise Jeff from Shocker Toys. We're moving forward and moving forward strong
through adversity.
That's right. And continuing to do what he does. Because, you know, I think he's going to put out a quality product.
I think so, too. And I'm
I
really
hope that
looking
it
forward
kicks
to
that other company's line's ass.
Well, you know, well, they'll be everywhere, though. But they'll be in Walmart and Target and you know, places where people who have no fucking idea who the characters are can buy them.
Exactly.
Idiot. That pit, you want to bet? I'll bet you $1 million that pit is a Build-A figure in the first
one. I'm not fucking losing.
Uh-huh.
I ain't losing no money.
Uh-huh. I'm right.
All right.
He's
well,
not losing his million.
Exactly. Let's wrap this show up.
All right.
Episode 36.
Screwed.
Exactly. We talked tonight about the next wave of Star Wars Unleashed, the big scale figures, it's three figures, the Shadow Stormtrooper, which we believe is a repaint of the classic Stormtrooper. And then the Anakin and Obi-Wan Battle of Mustafar figures.
Basically, it's a repackaging of figures that have already been out. It seems kind of a shame that they're not doing new figures.
Well, I'm just happy that they're doing something, and let's hope that they continue and maybe eventually do something new. We talked real quickly about some Stardust product that's coming out. Most notably, I think, are the busts. There are two mini bust sets, Tristan and the Witch, and Star and Lord Primus, both retailing at $79.99, and both go on sale in July of 2007.
Movie coming out, products coming from DC Direct, which we couldn't be more happy about.
Correct. Looks like Sam Raimi is going to try to tackle the Shadow once Spider-Man 3 is finally fully wrapped and opens. I think that Sam Raimi is probably a good director to take on a pulp character like the Shadow. And I hope that he runs with it and does a good job.
I think that would be a fantastic movie. I like the first Shadow. I like the Shadow as a character. I like the Phantom movie. I like the Phantom as a character. The
right.
pulpy characters I enjoy.
Sure.
I'm looking forward to seeing Sam Raimi's take.
Tom Jane talked about Jigsaw being the villain in the second Punisher film.
Excellent idea. Jigsaw, of course, is Punisher's kind of big nemesis.
Sure.
And the rumor, when they first rumored that it was Jigsaw, now that's been confirmed, the rumored actor to play Jigsaw was Michael Keaton. So we have to see if that rumor is now going to get solidified at some point.
Sure. As far as rumors go, right now it looks like Angelina Jolie is still rumored to play the role as Ava Lord in the upcoming Sin City 2 by none other than Mr. Frank Miller.
Sin City 2 probably could be, again, one of the best comic book movies ever made, if it's anything like Sin City 1.
Sure.
Angelina Jolie,
I'm going to disagree with you there, but that's okay. We're allowed to disagree.
I think we just have different tastes.
Sure.
I think Allison Hannigan is very hot.
I don't deny with you on that one.
Okay. Now, that's Willow, right?
That is Willow.
See? There you go.
Ties it all together.
I'm listening. Speaking of Willow, that was a mistake that you made in reference to River Tam, which was in the Firefly television series and Serenity movie, which brings us to the Firefly massive multiplayer online role-playing game that Fox announced last week.
Cut. With Kevin Bacon.
Wow. That's 6 degrees.
Okay, now do Errol Flynn.
No.
I can do it. Errol Flynn was in Against All Flags with Maureen O'Hara. Maureen O'Hara was in Only the Lonely with John Candy. John Candy was in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles with Kevin Bacon.
That wasn't even 6 degrees. That was like 4 degrees.
I know. I'm a master at that game.
Good for
six
you.
6 degrees of Errol Flynn? Yeah. I can do anybody.
Wow. We also talked about the failed successful Firefly
I say
Serenity
successful, the
Flanvention.
Flanvention. I'm going to say successful. Whenever you get a group of fans who can pick up the ball and make stuff happen, that is a success. Star Trek was the first. They canceled the TV show. The fans brought it back.
Right.
Family Guy canceled the show. They brought it back. The fans brought it back. And now I'm hoping Firefly canceled show. Maybe the fans will bring it back. But if not, they're definitely going to keep this underground thing happening for as long as they possibly can.
I thought it was me who brought Family Guy back single-handedly by downloading them. But I guess I was downloading them from somebody.
No, you you actually helped bring Futurama back, which is supposed to be coming back.
That's true. That is coming back. Clamor. And they have a toy line coming.
Yes, I know.
Firefly is a huge property. It's great science fiction. It's really, really stupendous stuff. There's a big underground fan following. They're going, they're making their conventions happen even when the promoter bails out the night before. Their stars are into it. They're hanging out. They're meeting and greeting. Nathan Fillion is giving away props from the show. I mean, it's just, what's his name? Wash is showing up at 3 a.m. to meet the fans. It is a tremendous movement. Bravo. I'm glad I'm a part of it, as little a part of it as I am.
Right. Real quick, we didn't mention this earlier, but two trailers you should check out this week, if you haven't already yet, would be the new 300 trailer, stupendous, and the new TMNT trailer, which... but we'll talk about that next week.
Not as good as the teaser?
Not as good as... well, yes and no, but we'll talk about that next week. Watch it in the meantime.
We also talked to Jeff Beckett, the president of Shocker Toys, talk about Screwed. His indie spotlight line has been screwed over for, the third time? Yep. They have now reshuffled the line the third time. We're just stunned over here, stunned at the story of how Big Business and Jesse Falcon and Toy Biz have treated and underhandedly gone after these licenses. And it's just what it is a shame. And those creators should be ashamed of making a handshake or verbal contract with a guy and then doing what they did for the money. Good for you guys. I hope you guys are happy with your product and your product manager. I'm going with Indie Spotlight.
For more information on that line, you can check out shockertoys.com.
And Wave 1, as Jeff said, will be Scud, who's a very exciting character. Shadowhawk by Jim Valentino.
Kabuki by David Mack. And Kachu from Terry Moore, Strangers in Paradise.
Excellent. And Wave 2 is going to be even more exciting because now I know what it is, but I ain't telling you. You're going to have to stick around for the world premiere, which he's going to make on this show.
Awesome.
And that's all that we have for episode 36. Ooh. Episode 36, Screwed.
And on that note, we cue the music. Scotty doesn't know that Fiona and me do it in my van every Sunday. She tells him she's in church, but she doesn't go. Still, she's on her knees, and Scotty doesn't know. Scotty doesn't know, so don't tell Scotty. Scotty doesn't know, Scotty doesn't know. Fiona says she's out shopping, but she's under me and I'm not stopping.
Birthday.